18 minutes past 8, struggling to get hold of Yushat Tayyip. The MLA have Muslim Lawyers Association. They have expressed interest in this particular story, this Chokhosan Elangeni Maharani story about the two Muslim chefs, or trainee chefs, if you want to call them that. But another issue that came to the fore in our interview in the last hour is the issue of contamination. And I'm just looking at the WhatsApp screen here. We are inundated with questions from listeners, many listeners saying that they were eating at especially the Elangeni restaurant on the assumption that the meat was bought from Star Meats and that it was halal. And now this issue of contamination raised with regards to Maharani, which is just next door, in the interview in the last hour has got many people worried. We've got on the line now the theological director of Sana'a, Mawlana Muhammad Said Nevlaki, to get some perspective on the issue. Mawlana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mawlana, what's your take on these, this issue? Firstly, I mean, because Sana'a is in the process, is in the field of halal certification, this hygiene rule that you cannot have a beard and even a beard net is not good enough. Is that an industry norm, or do they pretty much allow it as long as you wear a net?
No, this is absolutely unacceptable and absurd to the extreme, because it's a common practice. I mean, we've seen, let alone Muslims, we've seen a lot of non-Muslim people donning beards in the food industry, and beard, that is why they make beard nets, really. So I can't understand why, you know, this type of attitude has come out from a place like Chokhosan, especially in the heart of Durban, where they're exposed to Muslim people all the time.
Hmm. Now, the issue of contamination, Mawlana, to your knowledge, what's the status there at Chokhosan, Elangeni, Maharani, the difference between the restaurant and the kitchen, and the concerns raised by one of those chefs?
Really, this is a problem in the industry. You know, the industry has coined this term halal friendly. And, you know, if you refer to our previous gazette that we published in April, there's an entire lead article that we did on this issue of halal friendly. It's as friendly as friendly fire. People buy, you know, restaurants and hotels would buy some chicken, or they would buy chicken that has a halal logo, and then make this claim that no, our kitchen's halal friendly. All our chicken comes from a halal facility or halal abattoir, or we buy all our meats from an XYZ place. We've been to lots of these kitchens where there's open contamination at every level. At the level of storage, at the level of processing, at the level of cooking, and even at the level of serving these products. So it is our fault that, you know, Muslims are generally very gullible, and you know, sometimes it's a prestigious thing that you have a walk on the beach on Sunday morning, and then you want to go have breakfast at these places. We've actually approached these places, given them guidelines, etc. But then they don't move forward, purely because in any event Muslim people patronize them. Contamination is a fact, it's a reality in these places, and really you cannot go by the chef's word that our chicken's halal, or here's an invoice, look, we buy all our products from XYZ butchery. That's just not on. We are to blame for the position that we've put ourselves into.
Do you have any specific knowledge, Mawlana, with regards to Chokhosan, especially Elangeni and Maharani, and whether they have separate kitchens, and whether they have a Muslim chef or some sort of a scholar or a supervisor who oversees the whole process to ensure that there's no contamination?
Not to our knowledge. We did have an opportunity to go visit their kitchen at one time. Within that little kitchen area, it was a very cramped up area at the time. They did have a table that had some green paint on, and they said, look, on this table is where we do our halal. That is grossly insufficient in an environment of that nature within a hospitality kitchen. It's impossible to monitor what goes where and how you do things, really. So to the best of our knowledge, I don't know subsequently if they've now got separate kitchens, etc. But I'm not aware of any credible certification that either of these facilities have.
Okay, Mawlana, jazakumullah for your time this morning. Much appreciated.
Barakallahu fikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Sana'a's Mawlana Muhammad Said Nevlaki on the contamination issue which came up in the interview in the last hour. Now, if you were not listening in the last hour, and if you didn't read the article last night, basically, in summary, two Muslim youngsters, Yusuf Muhammad and Huzaifa Muhyiddin. They enrolled at Capsicum Culinary School, which is a halal culinary school in Durban. And they were sent for training to Maharani and Ilangeni. Huzaifa was at Maharani for about 6 weeks. They raised the issue of the beard with him, but they then allowed him to wear the beard net, or his chef in that kitchen allowed him to wear the beard net. And then when Yusuf came for his first day of work at Ilangeni, and he claims that, look, in the contract there was nothing mentioned about the beard being an issue, in the interview nothing, but when he came the first day, the issue was raised, and the head chef told him that either you shave or otherwise you leave. Even the beard net is not sufficient. That's their version of events. The head chef was not willing to comment to us yesterday. He said that under legal advice he's not going to comment. We're still trying to get comment out of the general manager to see what is their perspective and their side of the story. But there is one message floating around. I don't know if it's officially from Choko-san saying, look, we have hygiene rules, and these rules are mentioned in Capsicum's study notes, and all the students have signed those notes, and we cannot make exceptions because then we'll have to make exceptions across the board. But we'll still pursue, you know, the route of trying to get official comment from Choko-san and specifically those two, Maharani and Ilangeni. But the MLA, the Muslim Lawyers Association, have expressed interest, I understand, in this particular story. And joining us now we have Yusha Tayyab. Yusha, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and as always, welcome.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana, to you and the listeners. Jazakallah.
When did you pick up on the story and what are your thoughts?
Yesterday, Mawlana. So, you know, we haven't got an official version of events as they are. But, you know, we're picking up on social media as one now gets news these days. Everything on social media before it gets to any printed other form. So, yes, yesterday we picked up the detail in regard to it, and we've commenced an investigation. And we will hopefully make contact with the boys shortly, and they will give us their version of events. And when we have that, we'll hopefully be able to put something together.
Now, from the perspective of the law, Yusha, can any kitchen for that matter, or any restaurant for that matter, say, listen, we've got hygiene laws, we understand you've got your religious practices, but you need to choose. We've got hygiene laws and we cannot make exceptions based on religious practices because different people, you know, adhere to different religious practices, and our hygiene laws need to be paramount at the end of the day. We cannot compromise our customers' assurance in that regard. What would the law say in a situation like that?
Yeah, so what we would have to do is we look at what is the inherent position with regard to the job description in question. So in order to be a doctor, you have to have qualified with the requisite degrees and done the internship, similarly with a lawyer. So if not having a beard is an inherent requirement of being a chef, then that would be a problem. But that we know is not a problem, because being a chef, there's no inherent requirement that you should not have a beard. And that's the basis on which the labor laws define it, and that's the basis on which we will challenge it, is that there's no inherent requirement that you don't have a beard in order to be a chef. So there's a number of issues that arise. If we decide to take this matter to the Equality Court, we'll exclude the Labor Court. If we decide to go to the Labor Court, we'll exclude the Equality Court. There's also then contractual issues that arise on the basis that they were interviewed and presented with contracts in which it was not stipulated that they cannot don beard. So there are multiple issues that arise here. But the main one really is that there's no inherent requirement for being a chef that you don't have a beard. And this is how the labor courts have adjudicated these matters. And as you suggested previously, I mean, the hygiene requirement is a hygiene requirement, but it's not, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that donning a beard is unhygienic. Mm. But that really is not the issue now. It's the inherency of what the job requirement entails. So, you know, I think the fact that the Marani have him wear a cover or net or whatever, you know, those are logistical issues that can be resolved quite easily, but not inherently part of the job, so to speak.
Now, let's look at a hypothetical situation just to understand the whole aspect of hygiene laws or anti-beard laws, if you want to put it that way. Let's say you work for an organization, whether it's SAPS, And they have it within their contract, or whether it's a restaurant, that, look, you will not be allowed to keep a beard. We respect your religious practices, but you have to make a choice. If you choose to work for us, you need to sign this contract. And let's say there's a Muslim person, hypothetically, at the time, he signs the contract. Later on, he becomes a bit more religious and he decides, no, I want to wear the beard. And from a labor law perspective, they put up the contract to him and they say, look, you had to make a choice. You made a choice. You signed that you will adhere by our regulations. Now you can't cry foul. How will the law view such a situation?
Well, it all depends. You know, I mean, we get in this situation every day. He's now signed this contract because he needed the job or whatever it was. It's a contractual issue, and the issue around it, quite simply, is was he misrepresented? Was he under duress? Was he defrauded? And all those contractual issues will arise. But if the position is discriminatory, and this is where we come back to the position of, is it an inherent requirement of the job? If you were the radio presenter but you didn't have a voice, that would be a very difficult scenario for Radio Islam. So one of the job requirements would be that the presenter has a voice in order to present a... So it would be an inherent requirement. Now, not having a beard or having a beard not being an inherent requirement would then render the conduct discriminatory. And so it would be challenged on the basis of it being discriminatory, and contractually would be a separate issue. So we mustn't mix the two up. Mm. If they've signed a contract in which they've agreed, we would have to then contractually litigate on why the contract was signed and why there was a misrepresentation or fraud or duress or the like. And insofar as laws are concerned that are discriminatory, they need to be challenged separately. Based on the issue of whether it's an inherent requirement of the job or not, or just generally outright discrimination.
So in other words, Yusha, that even if an employee in any other organization signs a contract which has this type of a clause, if it can be proven that it's not an inherent requirement and that it's discriminatory, a court can overrule the clause and say that clause is not valid even though the employee has signed.
Correct. And there would be other bases to do it, but in a nutshell, that is correct, Malala.
All right, Yusha, jazakumullah for your time. It gives us much clearer perspective on the issue, and we'll keep in touch with you as the story progresses.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum.